This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste. Or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. I'm a baby.
Thirsty Thursday.
I'm a little baby. Oh my God. So I don't even know where to begin. I'm still waking up. I just got up like 15 minutes ago, I think. I have not been able to sleep very well.
Yeah.
Recently, because yesterday I only had 4 hours or the night before. And then last night I was like, oh, this will be easy. And I just couldn't go to bed. I was up till, I think, four. No, I watched two amazing Jonathan documentaries.
You watch back to back different docs?
I guess one and a half, because I gave up on the second one because I was like, oh, wait, this is actual. So the first one is like a documentary that thinks it knows what it is at the start, and then it takes on a different life. And it's on Hulu. There, and I was like, why are there two? It annoys me that there's two. I remember comedian Steve Byrne, he did one of them, the one I didn't watch, or the one I only watched half of. And he had asked me to like come on our show to promote it or something back then. And I was like, so last night I'm scrambling to find the one he made, but then all I keep getting is this other one. And then it turns out it's a documentary about how there's two people making a documentary about him. Because as this guy's making a documentary about the amazing Jonathan, suddenly he finds out that there's other people doing documentaries on him, and every couple months he's got a fourth crew, and it starts to become like he starts to kind of go insane because he's like, is this guy fucking with me? Is this a magic trick? Because if you don't know, Amazing Jonathan is like a guy who does magic, and he would do you
did
remember
he die? Did he die?
No. Wasn't not yet the, at least
wasn't that the whole thing though?
Yes. It was also another thing is that he was diagnosed to, he was going to die in a year.
Yeah.
And then 4 years later, he's still alive. And so the guy, I mean, spoiler alert, the guy ends up being like, are you fucking with me? Like, are you even dying? And he's like, how could you ask? Like, according to Amazing Jonathan, it is not a joke that he's still alive, that he got a year to live. He's just like, I'm baffled by it too. Like, I'm confused as well. And he smokes meth every day.
What?
As vitamins.
Okay.
What?
I mean, amazing.
And he gets the documentary. Yeah. He goes, you can't show me smoking meth on camera unless you do it too. And so then the documentarian calls up like a law office and is like, what are the ramifications if I smoke meth one time on camera because my subject wants me to smoke it?
I mean, what is the...
She's like, I wouldn't... hi, this is the law office. Like, it's just like someone at the, you know, front desk. They're like...
Yeah, what's up?
I don't know. So, because he keeps seeing methamphetamine to make it seem...
More like druggy. Like, more like...
Sciency.
Yeah.
Or official, you know? Litigal. Whatever the lawyer word is. And judicial. And then the guy's like... The guy at the front desk is like... Wait, so he wants you to smoke meth? Like, he like kind of like just gets right to it. And then they talk to the lawyer and she's like, I wouldn't, but just don't like, and he's like, what if I have a black box over it? So he looks like he's just like smoking this black box, and then they just cut the film because
I mean, maybe that's the cure.
Interesting.
Maybe that's the cure for whatever.
Can I just tell you what happens?
What do you mean?
Are you going to see this documentary?
I've seen it.
No, you haven't.
It's been a while.
You saw this?
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
One of them.
Wait.
Which one?
Did you see the one where he smokes meth all the time?
I guess so. I don't know. I was probably looking at my phone. This was a long time ago.
Andrew, it came out in 2019.
It is pretty amazing that I don't remember any of it.
But you're amazing, Andrew.
I do remember him not dying at the end, and he was supposed to die. Like, I do remember that.
That's literally, like, I would say not even a big part of it. Do you remember that? So, the Amazing Jonathan, he has this guy following him for on this documentary, and this guy's taking it very seriously. His name's Ben Berman. And it also gets into the fact that Ben's mom died when he was young, and he kind of filmed his dad a lot as a kid. Not a lot, but there's like one scene where he's asking his dad about like his feelings about his mom dying. So he's kind of like, they kind of set up the story of like he's, there's only one scene where he does it, but it seems like he was like always following around people talking about death. And so he, in the end, he kind of is like, wait, because Amazing Jonathan was like, oh, so I'm fucking up your documentary because I didn't die yet. So sorry, Ben. And Ben's like, fuck, am I like using this guy to die? Like, is my film dependent on him dying and I'm mad about that? But he's really just mad about the fact that he's filming him and all these documentary crews are filming him too. And Amazing Jonathan is like, but these are going to be better, Ben. Sorry, yours is going to come out second. These guys are going to come out first because they're from the same guy who made Man on Wire and Searching for Sugarman.
Mm.
And he's going on all these radio shows talking about, oh, this documentary crew is following him around. This guy that's filming me right now, he's a nobody. But these other guys, they're from Searching for Sugarman and Man on Wire. And he does all these interviews. And then Ben looks into it and he's like, the other documentary crew has nothing to do with that Searching for Sugarman guy. He's like a director in London who they told those crew guys are fucking with him, or maybe Amazing Jonathan's fucking with him. But Amazing Jonathan's like, no, they told me they were with that guy and that he's just not involved because he's got other projects. And now he kind of just like, you know, sends crews out on things he wants to do. So then he goes to London to talk to the guy that did Man on Wire and Searching for Sugarman.
Yeah.
And he sits down with him and says, are you doing a documentary about the Amazing Jonathan? And he's like, no. And he's like, okay, well, and he goes, I've heard some things about like some people saying I was. The thing is, you can just say you're doing something and the guy at the top won't even be like, no. I could just say works on a movie with Spielberg. He's not firsthand involved,
yeah,
but his production company is doing, is really interested in me and they're, he's got, you know, it's lower levels of the network. You wouldn't know their names, but Spielberg.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing a thing with
That's
Spielberg.
That's great. What is it?
It's a movie about my life.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that he's into that.
My adolescence, just a year of my adolescence.
Oh man, no, Spielberg would have
27.
I would love to see how he would frame that.
Yeah, well, you're going to. His boys are on it. He's busy with other, like, E.T. 3.
Mm-hmm. Rosenstein?
Yep, Rosenstein.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jim Maxwell.
Oh, fucking, dude.
You know Jim Maxwell, right?
Well, people always say he gives a lot of Spielberg
Jurassic
credit. Yeah.
Park.
Mm-hmm. He put the, I believe he was in charge of making.
He took the little eggshell off when the dinosaur came out and went.
And he said the raptors are actually smaller in real life. And it was his decision, I think, to make them twice bigger. The size. Yeah.
So he goes to this guy in London and he's like, is there a documentary about fucking Amazing Jonathan? And he goes, no, I've heard rumblings, but like, no, that's not mine. And he goes, well, do you want one? Because I'm making one. Do you want to produce it? And the guy's like, and you wait. And then he goes to the Amazing Jonathan. And Amazing Jonathan's in a wheelchair. At this point, they've had a big falling out. And he goes to him and he's like, so you know that guy that you're doing a documentary with? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, he doesn't, you're not. Those guys, that doesn't exist. He says he has no idea what it is. But I pitched him ours, and he's going to produce it. So now you are.
So maybe that's all it takes. Maybe you got to go to Spielberg with this adolescent story of when you were 4 to 5.
No, I was 27.
Oh.
It's delayed. Yeah, 4 to 5 also childhood. Is... Wait, do you think adolescence is 4 to 5? Several.
Yeah. Wait. Adolescence, I thought, is like teenager childhood.
Well, the 4 to 5 is not teenage. Yeah.
Well, I know that, but adolescence, anything in your childhood.
No. No. Adolescence, I would say, is 12 to 17. Noah?
I thought it was in the teens.
Yeah, teens.
Oh.
Well, when did you sprout pubes? When did you turn into a man? When did your voice drop and all that shit?
Still waiting, really, to turn into a man. My voice dropped. I was a very small boy, as you know. I was a head shorter than anyone in my class, by far.
His school picture is so funny, you guys. He is smaller than all the girls, and he's standing with all the girls in the front row. Aww.
I mean, I look like...
He's a foot shorter than all the
girls. If the grass was any higher, I wouldn't be in the photo. Someone goes, I posted a photo, they're like, why does this look like... You're in a school in Australia in the 50s.
That's true. It does look like that.
And so I wanted
pubes
so bad.
You look like the little
bad.
Boy that they got from the circus, like the littlest boy.
Oh, yeah. I was.
You look like Simon Birch. Do you remember that movie?
Kind of.
He was a little boy.
A little tiny boy. I was a very tiny little boy, and I don't know. I was a cute kid, but goddamn, I want pubes. I wanted to fucking grow because all the girls were a head taller than me, and I wanted pubes so bad. I told you the story. I used to look for my pubes
in the front yard, in the backyard,
because
there
was more sunlight. And I would fucking pray to God.
You didn't realize that you could just put a lamp on them and just use a light.
I wanted to use the sun is stronger than. This was before ring lights. A regular lamp wasn't doing the trick. And I went all the way out to the yard. And my mom was watching the whole time.
How do you know that?
Because I looked over and she was in disbelief that her son is looking for pubes.
I bet you anything she didn't know you were looking for pubes. She just thought you were probably looking at your penis in the light trying to see if you could find it.
No, she yelled out the window, have they grown out?
No, she didn't.
Are they out yet?
Your mom would not... probably think about pubes. If I saw a little boy pulling down his pants and looking at his penis area in the sun, I would just think he was looking at his penis to see if it was like there was something down there.
I wanted pubes so bad. And because the cool kids all had pubes. Like, you know, I've told you,
God,
the kid
that
wanted to suck his own dick, who I helped
by
grabbing his legs, by sucking his dick while holding his legs.
You're like, imagine it's your ass.
Imagine it's your own mouth, I said. And then, no, but I wanted pubes because he was the cool. Everyone, there's the coolest kid.
Yeah, he's 6'1". Just wanted to be cool.
Oh, so, one time, I was looking at my own dick in the mirror, before, I think I might have just started to get pubes, but I was, hoping my dick grew, too, like it came, like a package. And I was looking at, this is the saddest story. I'm looking at my dick and I'm not trying to fluff it at all. It couldn't be any smaller at the time. And both my friends were in.
You remember them in the room?
They were in the closet for no reason. Other than I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were doing something.
Wait, did you know they were in the closet?
No. Oh, and so God. I'm just looking at my dick like a sad little boy.
Oh, no. What grade is this?
Adolescent. No. Seventh grade, probably. Seventh grade or eighth grade.
Oh, did they?
And they come out, they're like, bah! What are
we
you
were
doing?
We were sucking each other's dick in this closet. Yeah. It's not as embarrassing as what we're seeing out here, dude.
Oh my God. It was so sad.
Do you know those guys still?
Do I know them? Yes, I do. One,
I wonder if they would remember that.
Is sober now.
He's silver now?
Sober.
Oh.
And
his pubes are silver.
They're silver now. He's the one that wrote me apologizing for all the anti-Semitic stuff he did to me.
Oh, I didn't know that someone did that. That's nice.
Yeah, because he was in, I guess, a 12-step program. Yeah, one of his steps was, you know, Jew hating.
Repenting for all the...
Well, he's the one that put the swastika in the driveway and lit it on fire.
And, you know, I think so many times kids bully and do shit like that, and they don't know.
Oh no, they
that
don't
they're
connect
being asshole. They don't know how bad it is.
Yes,
it's nice that he, and I think that they can also rewrite history and pretend that that didn't happen, and also the Holocaust didn't happen.
Yeah, rewrite history never. There's nothing that's
never
positive.
Good. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they. I think that they can also just go, "Oh, I didn't do that." Especially even by the time you get to, so for him to be able to remember that, it definitely made at the time.
Yes.
You could tell he probably felt a little bit bad about it too.
I'm
for
sure.
For that to stay with you, because if you didn't really think anything of it, I think a lot of times bullies like forget.
I mean, I was like. I'm not going to brag, God. But I was such a cute little kid that yeah. And girls gave me attention. Like, I got attention.
Yeah.
I think guys went after the Jew thing, because the Jew thing is easy when you're in an all-Christian school.
Yeah, it's the one thing that, but you were so short, too. They could have gone after that.
You would think. That's how Man. Much they hated Jews, because I was really short.
Oh, my God. They could have just, that's so fucking sad.
It was fine, and though.
What would you say
guys.
In response to it?
I had to be creative. Like, I'd go after a kid's acne. Like, I couldn't be like, you Christian. You know, because the Jew thing is so easy. Because it's just like, oh, you don't pay money because you're a Jew. You know, you don't tip or whatever. You're cheap because you're a Jew. And Jew is just such a strong word on its own that it got such a hard laugh on its own. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So then I would have to be like, you know, make fun of his weight, make fun of his acne, make right. fun, like specific things.
Yeah.
And it was funny though, because I'd go to camp in the summer and that was all Jewish.
And then
they'd make fun of me for being short and having weird nipples.
You were like, I can't.
I was just like, can you just call me a
nipples?
Dirty Jew, please?
They made fun of your nipples? Is that where you get that? Or did you?
No,
the nipples
thing came from my brothers, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that'll get you.
Yeah.
You can't escape it. Like, yeah, I was trying to think of like the meanest things that were said to me as a kid, and it's always from my sister. Yeah, because I was called like a bitch and stuff and like a bucktooth beaver and stuff, but I would never say anything back because then they could just come up with something else that I would be like, oh, fuck. Now, like, they would just keep going. Like, if I were you, if I had been you, I would have just taken it because I would be scared if I called a kid fat. They'd be like, well, also you're short and you're this. And they'd start going after my looks. Like, I would be scared that it, you know, like if they came after me for one thing, it's not like they could stop there. And I would just be too scared. They would keep listing things and I would run out of things about them.
And then the hard thing is if you're getting made fun of buck teeth, if you talk back, your buck teeth, you have to like go, fuck you, man. Like, you can't. But it was funny because like you said, like,
oh, it's so brutal.
But you get to a point when you get made fun of so much for something that you can't control where
orthodontist.
I think it made me funnier in a way because I would end up flipping. I would already say the joke about Jewish people.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
They could get to it.
Yes.
You know what
that's
I
what
mean?
You do. So yeah, you start making fun of yourself before anyone can say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other day I was wearing like a dress on set that I felt like I looked like a little baby doll on a shelf. Like, it was just a really short dress, but it was like poofy and like had big puffy sleeves. So it just looked like a big t-shirt on a little rag doll, but it's really cute. But I just was like dying to make a joke about it before any of the Perfect Stranger
cast. Balky was looking at you weird.
Could say anything, but it was like on my mind the whole time of like, I gotta make fun of this before any of them think that they can make fun of it ahead of me.
That's deep rooted.
Deep rooted.
Did you do it? I didn't hear it.
No. I was gonna say something. I had a couple lines, but they just never came out. Because a lot of times it's like they're not thinking about me in my fucking dress. Like, no one cares.
Sometimes I want to sit down people after that and be like, were you thinking about the dress? were you looking at my shoes? Like,
yeah, like
you want to know,
really,
like,
get into, were, did you care about me at all in that
moment?
But
here's the thing. We do notice things. That's the problem. As comedians or whatever, ADD or whatever we are, we notice those things on other people sometimes.
And they don't see it on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great talent to be able to call out the things that, because you're a hack then if you make fun of someone and they've already given you the thing that you're making fun of. You're a fucking hack.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing worse than being someone who's unoriginal. And so, you just constantly try to beat them to it. And a lot of times people are like, I wasn't thinking that. You don't need to say that. Like, stop it.
Yes.
I
wasn't even thinking I was Jewish. Or no.
So what would your brother say about your nipples? We gotta go to break. We'll come back and find out. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good. Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents.
Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say "free this week" into your Xfinity voice remote.
What did your brother say about your nipples?
We're back.
What did your brother say? Do you remember like a moment specifically?
It was like when we would swim in the pool.
And your nipples were different than theirs?
Yeah.
Because that's just a bummer. Most kids look like y'all have the same kind of bodies and stuff.
Well, when you're like 13, you get, guys get fucking like nipple rocks. Like rocks, like it's calcium or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah,
girls
get it too.
So it makes your nipples even puffier.
Oh.
But I just like, I guess compared to guys.
The word puffy is so funny. Just calling them puffs.
Well, puff, cheese puffs, Colin. No, I just like, so I would make them hard all the time before I got in the pool, like before I would take my shirt. I still do it. I still, if I'm going to take my shirt off at the pool, I'll grab my nipples before I take my shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
But my nipples aren't that, I've showed you my nipples. You've seen my nipples.
Do you, yeah, I mean, they're Cheetos. They're not puffs.
Maybe I've grown into them. Maybe my nipples.
I just would never, that's not, I mean, I do know what you're talking about though when guys do have that. It's a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, what was going to be my question?
I'll make my nipples hard by myself in the shower.
Do you know who, when you see men with their shirts off, are you looking for other puffs?
They'll be,
like on Perfect Strangers, is there anyone on Perfect Strangers?
There's this dude, Alex Horton from high school, and he was jacked.
Yeah.
He had really tiny nipples. Mm-hmm. And I always thought if I had his nipples, I would look... My body would look so much better because my chest would look so much more jacked if I had his nipples. My nipples right. took away from my chest muscles.
Right. Oh my! I mean, I love that question of like what you have that you were always like, if it was just this, my life would be so different.
And Alex Horn's nipples. I mean, there must have been a girl's nipples that you saw in the locker room where you were like,
"No, nipples were not my thing, though." You know, like everyone has their thing. Yeah. I like mine are good. I think that I'm probably an Alex Horton of sorts. You know, like I gotta say, I got pretty good nipples. I've never once been like, "Oh, I don't like my nipples."
I've seen worse nipples, way worse nipples than mine on men.
Yeah.
And they're called like pepperoni, where they're like a weird orange. My color is nice. I have a nice color for nipples.
Yeah, so it could always be worse.
Also, if my nipples compared to a woman, my nipples are fine and dandy. Like I should be worried if a woman thinks my nipples are puffy, but if they think my nipples are puffy, their nipples are definitely puffy. Most women's nipples are puffier than mine. You know what I mean? So if you don't, I'm worried about what my brother thinks about my puffs. I gotta be worried about what the fucking hot.
Do you know what age? So they started saying that you had puffs like around in adolescence when they started coming through.
Yeah.
And you just remember like being like, "Oh shit!" And your brothers did not have the same nipples.
My little brother Dan has the smallest out of the three, and then my little brother has he looks like me and my brother mixed, and his nipples are right in between.
That's so stupid. This is all so stupid. I told you one time when I was taking a bath with my sister.
Yeah, what did she
and
have?
She saw my clitoral hood, which was coming in more than hers. And she said to my mom, "Nikki has a penis." Oh. And I was
how old
devastated.
Were you?
Fifth grade.
Yeah.
Like
and
I just
grade,
said.
She was what then? She was third?
But I wasn't like developing yet. Like, and by the way, like I don't look like that, but like there's. I just have a normal.
No, you grew into
I mean,
it.
I watch a lot of porn. My vagina is really basic, but at the time, it was. I mean, what could be more devastating than having saying you have a penis when you're a girl in the bath with your sister? So, it just went into like, okay, well, I'm never gonna get naked around this girl again, and now it's always gonna be. And I found a diary entry of like, of mine from
diaries.
Like,
from when you're young.
Oh, and there's
oh my
this,
God. I
no,
wish
it wasn't
Adam.
A diary. I'm sorry. It was a note to Kirsten that Kirsten sent me.
Oh.
And it was a picture of the note. And I can't, this is how close Kirsten and I were. Like, I could tell her that's why I thought it was a diary. I'm like, why would I write this down to someone? But there were like, I remember it was in seventh grade and my mom was doing, my sister was such a brat to me. she like saw my underwear and they had like shit, you know, like maybe a little shit in the, like not shit, but like a shit streak.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know. It was just a fucking kid.
It was just a streak. It wasn't like a whole crowd. It
was, and she was like, "You're disgusting. Ew, Nikki." And my mom and her laughed at me. And I wrote in the note that my mom and her laughed. And I'm like, I can't picture my mom ganging up. I'm sure my adolescent brain was just like, everyone is laughs. And my mom was just like, Nikki, shut up. Who cares? Everyone has shit in their pants. Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it was
like,
less pointing and more like, come on, Nick, it's not a big
thing. I read it as like, like my mom just being so cruel.
It's like a movie when they, it's like a real close zoom and they're like, ha, ha, ha. And you just see people laughing at you.
Oh my God. Where,
and holding a martini like, ha, ha, ha.
And I was just listening to a Hidden Brain podcast about memory and how, like, you know, we all know that our memory is completely skewed based on what really happened.
And so you wrote this to Kirsten. What did she write back?
Or I don't know. I didn't have, like, the correspondence. Oh, I didn't have, like, a historian put together it in sequence. But because I have all the notes that they gave me, but mostly they... My friends are better at like keeping things than I am. And so I have all my writing, but they have none of theirs because it was all went to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's kind of nice that I got all my shit. But I was listening to this podcast about memory and it's so much worse than I thought in terms of what we remember and what we think happened. And you know how like when you see a picture of yourself in a photo album and you can suddenly like kind of be like, oh yeah, I do remember that birthday party or that thing. Like you can almost... Even though before you saw the picture, it is not in your memory at all. You were two or whatever.
It's like when you know a question from Jeopardy and you're like, what? How did that get in there?
No, this is more like, this is more like you, if you've seen a picture or enough pictures of an event that otherwise you probably would not remember, but you think you remember it because you've seen pictures of it.
Oh,
so that is a completely false memory that has been put back in your brain. It's not the same one that, it's not from when you did that thing.
Got
it's
you.
A fake memory because they found that when researchers put people in Photoshop, in photos of events that they did not witness and asked them to look through the photos and then tell them about the events, they make up a story where they went in a hot air balloon and they've never been in a hot air balloon. And because of the photo exists and they go, oh yeah, I do remember that. And I was trying to think of if I saw myself in a hot air balloon.
I mean, like that's so kid, drastic.
It's true, though. Because I was thinking about it. If I saw myself in a hot air balloon as a kid, like just standing in one, like someone did a good enough Photoshop, I would just go, I guess I forgot that. And I would make up the memory. And I could probably come up with a memory that feels really real.
Mm-hmm.
And I originally started listening to the podcast because I'm a 9/11 head and I was in a deep Reddit thread about people on 9/11 don't really, they found that people's 9/11 stories are completely fabricated.
Mm.
Not like I was in Build Tower 2 and they were in fucking, you know, Connecticut, you know, Nebraska. But
let's hear Steve Renazzisi or whatever.
Right. But not like the ones that are made up on purpose, but people really do think that different things, like that it was different times of day. Like there's certain things where you go, oh, there's this amazing what's the Magellan effect?
But that's the crazy. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Yes. Magellan effect is where you think every explorer is named Magellan. And that's a common thing that happens on the show. There's a Mandela effect of in South America. I got to look up this up. Mandela. It's so, you guys, there's a Mandela effect I found about on Reddit that I cannot believe. You know the classic Mandela effects where you think something happened, everyone in everyone you know is like, that's certainly a thing. And then you look back and it's like, it's not. Classic one is Berenstain Bears. It's not Berenstain Bears. It's Bernstein Bears. Something
or
like that.
The other way around. I don't know. Yes. I see what you're saying.
So the Mandela Effect was first coined in 2009. She created a website to detail her observance of the phenomenon. Broom was at a conference. This is the woman's name. Talking with other people about how she remembered the tragedy of former South African President Nelson Mandela's death and a South African president in the 1980s. However, Nelson Mandela did not die in the 80s in a prison. He passed away in 2013. As she began to talk to other people about her memory, she learned that she was not alone. Others people remembered seeing the news coverage. Okay, so notable examples are Luke, I am your father.
What does he say?
People remember Darth Vader uttering the famous line, Luke, I am your father. You might be surprised to learn that the line was actually, no, I am your father. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You may be shocked to learn that the line was actually magic mirror on the wall. Mm. Oscar Mayer. Some people claim to remember the brand being spelled M-E-Y-E-R instead of it being spelled Mayer, like John Mayer. Berenstein Bears. People remember Berenstein Bears is they're not people remember that the name being Berenstein Bears spelled with an E instead of an A. And it's actually Berenstein Bears.
Yeah, it's interesting that like
that is that one's crazy, but there's one Shazam. Yeah. What about Shazam? Do you remember Shazam?
Yes.
Who's in Shazam?
Shaquille O'Neal.
That's true. People think Sinbad was in a movie called Shazam in the 90s.
What was he in?
He was in Jingle All the Way or some shit.
Oh, I thought he was in like Kazam.
There's one, though, that is so insane that I could not believe. Oh, that everyone's freaking out about. Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, that one gets me.
Do you know that one?
I always thought it was Fruit of the Loom. I think I put a B in there somewhere.
No, that's not it. Fruit of the Loom. Do you remember... I don't think this would get you. I think you're misremembering the what
did Mandela wear him in jail?
Okay, Fruit of the Loom. Do you remember what the graphic looked like for Fruit of the Loom underwear? Do you know remember what like the icon is?
There's like grapes or something.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you remember Cornucopia?
No.
Do you know what that is? Do you know, you don't know what a cornucopia is?
Kind of.
Noah, do you know?
No, I haven't heard of that.
It's a cone like thing that like a basket that turns into a cone and then the fruit spills out.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Did it have a cornucopia?
I thought it had a basket.
Yeah, I thought not a basket a too.
There's no basket. There's no cornucopia. Oh. There never has been.
And it's not Fruit of
but
Balloon?
But people cannot believe it. And if you go, people have drawn images of what they think it looked like, the cornucopia. And you look at the image and you go, oh my God, that's totally what it was. But it's just a rendering based on memory. It never existed.
That's wild.
There's all these ones that are so good.
It's weird to me that the Mandela thing sparked this kind of stuff. Because I felt like John Madden, he died this year. I thought he died 15 years ago. Like, I get that one. I think it's like a different, but I'm surprised that this sparked this for her. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, she just thought Mandela died.
Oh, right.
It'd be one thing if you thought his name was like Mandela, not Mandela. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm surprised that her thinking that guy died sparked looking into these things.
There's some one in South America that I can't find, but people believe that when a big event happened, it was something like on, it's like when the OJ Simpson trial was happening, when the OJ stuff was happening.
Yeah.
They got into a, obviously he was on that highway chase. And I remember Sister Sister being on and it was interrupted for Sister Sister. So that's my memory. I almost want to check the timeline to see if it could even be possible that Sister Sister was playing at the time, because that's the way I remember it. Because everyone in South America remembers some big event like that.
Yes.
Interrupting a children's show that a bunch of kids were watching. I forget the event. I'm sorry that I can't. This is not. But they all remember it interrupted this children's show. And that was show was not on at that time. And so no one understands how that could possibly be.
Hmm. And that's the thing. I wonder if it's like a game of telephone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, did one person have that memory and then they maybe went on TV and said, I can't believe this. And then it kind of steamrolls from there. I have no idea.
You know what happens? I think the cornucopia thing, like, I think Fruit of the Loom probably had a commercial where they had their logo on a lot. And it was this fruit and it was all. And then I think there was another commercial at the time that probably had a cornucopia with fruit and they just got mashed in our brains. And now no one can remember the other thing that was running at the time. It's like, it's so much. But I just realized the other night listening to this podcast, I always think that I'm better than people who don't remember very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always like, actually, no, my memory is correct. You're all wrong. I know that everyone's susceptible to their memories being changed.
Mm-hmm.
But now I realize, like, anything I think
from be wrong.
Or it's just a picture I saw.
Well, that's the story we tell ourselves. Then we go to therapy and then we tell these people and then they diagnose us with, like, But we could have had the whole memory. Like, I've definitely brought up things to my parents, and I don't know.
I know, that's where I kind of go.
It's gaslighting maybe on their part where they don't think they were as bad. Or right. Like, and so, you're like, oh, remember when you did this? Be like, no. It's like when I told my dad, I was like, I don't remember yet that many of my games. He's like, what are you talking about? I went to all your games.
Oh, my God. Who's right? Oh.
Well, then he goes, well, did I was at all the games I was at.
He died in a prison?
That's what he said.
Yeah. He was on his phone the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wasn't, yeah.
I can't believe you watched that fucking documentary. It's wild to me. I don't think
That goes back to
you
that.
You watch so many things and you don't watch them. I don't think you can say you watch things if they're just in the background when you're watching TikTok golf videos. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what? I have a pretty good memory. Like, I especially things I hear. Like, I'm an auditory learner.
But you can't multitask. People, this is another thing. Everyone thinks they're exception to it. Your brain literally cannot take in two different kinds of information at one time and actually give them the amount of attention needed to understand them. It's impossible.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, your hand can do one thing on the piano over here and one thing on the piano. Like, that's different. That's like you're not processing that information. You cannot be on your phone and listen to something at the same time and pay attention to both. It's impossible.
There was that episode of Louis, though, where his daughter was on her phone while they were at, like, either like a show, like,
well, you're shifting, you're doing a tennis match,
but then he like talked to her about it and she remembered everything and he's like, oh, their generation is different because they can multitask because they've been doing
that's so weird. A fictional thing proves me wrong. Let's get to the
from news. What I remember.
A fictional story he used proved me wrong. No, I know what you mean.
You heard it here first.
Oh man, if you didn't hear it here first, where did you hear it? Because boy, would I be upset if you heard it somewhere else. It's Thursday, folks. You know what that means? It is a Thursday. I hope you're having all the swells out there. It's pretty much the weekend, so go have fun. Get naked, do some bad things, regret it on Sunday, and then get right back to Monday. All right. Chicago police...
I hope people get naked when they shower this weekend. Yeah. Like, that's what I think of when you go get naked.
And don't pinch your nipples. Let them
loose in the shower. Unless you're in there with someone else, and then fucking.
Yeah, unless
away.
You're in there with your brother, then. Then tighten them up.
Or what was the guy with good nipples? What was his name?
Alex Horton.
Yeah, or if you're in there with Alex.
Great nipples.
God, I mean, wanting someone else's thing and thinking it's going to change your life. We gotta go round robin on that one and come up with ones.
Chicago police rescue 80-year-old woman held hostage for 17 hours by a naked intruder after her daughter raised the alarm because she hadn't sent the solution for the day's Wordle. So,
wait, I don't understand.
The woman was asleep in bed when a mentally ill man, naked, broke into her house and climbed into bed with her.
She knew her mom was in distress when she had not sent her Wordle
score. She did it on a regular basis, on a daily basis, so she was concerned. There was no answer.
And so she thought her mom probably died or something happened. So a crazy guy. Did the guy do anything to the poor woman?
Yeah, he actually got the last. He got the word on the fourth one for her.
Oh, that's.
That's what I heard. No, he then dragged her in the shower and then the bath before locking her in the basement bathroom with no windows.
Oh,
her eldest daughter in Seattle noticed that her mother was not responding. She called the police and a standoff lasting several hours. The man was stunned and arrested, and Holt was rescued unharmed.
Oh, good. I think that really does make me think about, I get every single day, I get Wordle results from Chris, and if I didn't get them, I'd feel like he was just mad at me or something. I wouldn't even check on his well-being. I'd just be like, oh, I guess I did something. Or I guess we're in a fight.
I guess he's being held up for 18 hours by a naked woman.
I'll kill her.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
It's a great way to connect with people.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard of this before, of like someone orders a pizza every day from the Domino's and then one day they don't and they do a wellness check because it's like, well, something must be up because this person, I see them every day doing this thing. But Wordle is a great way, like I'm back in it too.
I'm sure the people at Starbucks in St. Louis, if you didn't show up, they
think you're dead. The girl here already knows.
I know. She knows you through your order through me.
I was thinking about today, and I think it's the coolest thing that's ever happened to me because she doesn't seem to be annoyed with me like, oh, this dumb gringo getting her fucking drink. She's like, she doesn't seem to hate me.
Yeah.
When she goes, are you Nikki? Like when she says that. And then people from the show have been going to Perfect Strangers go to get me a coffee. She has said to them, is this for Nikki?
Yeah, she
and
said
she like kind of likes it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cute.
It is really cute.
And isn't it funny that you get the same exact drink as me now?
I do, but cold.
Yeah, but it's the same drink.
Completely different.
So different. Don't you think that maybe that drink should be like, you know how Taylor Swift had her like own Starbucks drink? It's a good drink, right? Like it's not just me.
Yeah, it's a solid drink.
Can you tell your order again?
Yes, it is a venti extra hot because I drink things fast, so I need them extra hot. I can't stand a cold thing. Venti extra hot almond milk latte with one pump in Mexico because the sugar-free syrup is a little strong here. But generally, 2 pumps of sugar-free vanilla and then 2 stevia.
This was the thing. I went to order for you. No almond milk. You don't want anything, which you have almond milk here.
I know, but it's not the same as theirs. And it's not steamed, which gives it a frothiness that I like.
I mean, we're very similar in a lot of ways. That's the key.
Well, that's why I am like, why do you like anything in particular? Like, why don't you just get what you like instead of what I like if nothing really matters to you?
No, but I like that.
Right.
But I'm fine with it changing.
Right, right.
That's the difference.
It's got to be my way or no way.
but you've had other drinks at Starbucks before that you've enjoyed.
Yes.
And you want the caffeine, right? Like you would do coffee black. I've seen you do that.
Yes.
So why didn't you do coffee black this morning?
Because I'd rather just have a Diet Coke to get the coffee. Because to get the caffeine. A lot of times I will do black coffee if it's like I'm cold on set. Sometimes I want a coffee because I want the warmth of it. And this morning I wasn't really dying for the warmth and iced coffee black is abhorrent to me. I would never do that. And I don't want black coffee if you can do stevia, but no milk. I will do an iced coffee with almond milk with no sweetener or with no like vanilla, but it's all fucking, I just like it the way I like it.
No, I get it. I'm not trying to give you shit. I'm just saying it's just interesting. I'm sure there's people out there that have a coffee order.
I wonder what you ate before you met me because I feel like so many of your tastes have now been
hijacked by you. Well, you eat healthier than me.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, you've taken probably some traits from me somehow that don't involve food. But like, what the hell is that sound?
That's me going, hold on.
What?
I'm trying to think of traits I've taken from you.
I've made you more relaxed as a human.
More silly, I guess, yeah. Okay, that's true.
So you've taken some of my silliness, and I've taken your Starbucks order. No, but if you eat healthier, like you get the vegan cream cheese.
Yes.
I do have like a lactose thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have fucking like cream cheese or like milk, regular milk, it fucks my belly up.
How do you not know about these things before I start doing them, though? Like, would it, if milk fucked my belly up, I would just look into alternatives, but you just keep doing it until you go, oh,
yeah,
you're eating that thing? What is that? Like, because you're a guy that just goes to the grocery store, will go down one aisle, and that's if you're in a hurry. I will go down every aisle to find the thing I want. You'll just go, whatever you got is fine.
Yes.
So interesting to me.
I don't know. I just don't give a shit.
Two different approaches. You just don't give a shit.
I really don't. But
one aisle over, there could be something better. See, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to like marriage and relationships. What if the better choice is one aisle away? And you know that meme where they always show a guy digging and they show him giving up right before, and it's like, it's showing a guy digging in the ground and there's like gold or something he's trying to get to. Or it's like
he got something before the gold.
No. There's like a big room with all like a crypt, you know, with all this gold and sarcophagi and stuff like that.
Yeah, cornucopia.
He's digging through, and there's a long dig, and then he's just tirelessly, and then you just see him going like, oh, I can't anymore, and there's just this much left to dig through, and he would have gotten to the crypt, but instead he's going to give up because it's just been too long. I'm always thinking that there's going to be that room that I shouldn't settle for whatever I get because there's always could be something better until I've gone to every aisle of the grocery store, especially a new one that I don't know where everything is. It's in a different country. I need to see every crevice to know that I'm getting the best thing that for me in that. And that is why I struggle with dating, is because, or not even dating, because dating doesn't lock you in. It's not like you're like eating it yet.
Getting married,
I feel like, is until you've made sure that you've you have the best, I don't want to do it.
I guess.
And how could you ever know?
I mean, I guess even like a relationship where it's like you think it's all perfect, there is a possibility that somewhere around the world, or maybe
100%, there's someone better out there for you.
That could be better.
They're in India or China, because that's where most people are, but there's someone better out there for you. Or someone as good.
Yeah.
The odds that you met the best person for you.
No, I know. It's crazy.
Is just, it's not possible. And especially given the history of humanity and everyone that's ever lived, there's definitely been people in other,
But what's worse? The unsettling of like, of trying to find that person for the whole, your whole life. And never finding them, and then you're always feeling incomplete.
You put the things in your shopping cart until there's other things that are better. And if those things that are better come along, you can dump the things in your shopping cart unless they stack up to it.
Okay.
Because that's how I feel about relationships. If I was dating a guy,
divorce is 60%. People are getting rid of their cart. Like,
yeah,
it happens.
Yes. Yeah, and I think
that's fucked up though too, to be like, to take something less just in case. And then when something more, it's like, all right.
No, you take the best you can get at all times. Like, if I'm on a road trip and I don't know what food options are going to be coming along, it's not time for lunch yet. Like, you don't do this because you don't plan ahead. But, like, if I'm going on a road trip and we stop at a gas station, I don't know if there's going to be 100 miles of nothing ahead. But it's not time for lunch yet. Let's say it's 11. I'm going to be hungry at 1, but I don't know what's going to be around us at 1. I will get something at 11 at that gas station that will suffice me at 1 o'clock if there's no other options. But I won't eat it until it's time to eat it, and I know that there's no other options. Does that
make
sense?
Meanwhile, I'm eating the chicken salad sandwich at a
7-Eleven. You'll eat whatever the fuck. Yes. And you won't plan ahead.
I've been a little bit better about that. Maybe probably because of you, but like just, or growing up.
Yeah, of just preparing.
Yeah, or like just, you know, the other day, yesterday on set of Perfect Strangers, they had a bunch of like sandwiches just sitting there at like 11 in the morning. And the old me probably would have taken down 3 of those and not even thought about it and then been like, all right, then I'll eat later at like 5.
Yeah.
I didn't eat them because I was like, no, I don't want this. I just want this to fill me up. So instead, I had a protein bar. And then had a healthier lunch.
Right.
That's like a big improvement for me to not just eat sandwiches. Yeah. But not saying sandwiches are that bad. I'm just saying like it wasn't the food I wanted.
Yes. Waiting till it's the thing you want.
Oh, it's hard. Yeah. All right. Next story.
But it also gets in my way for sure.
Oh, speaking of this. A personal stylist recommends you never wear this one piece of clothing on a first date.
Your fucking Confederate flag bandana.
No, actually, that's the only thing you should wear. That's what she says.
A nude bra.
A white shirt. I would tell my clients to avoid anything that is fussy or difficult to clean or to keep clean. A great first date outfit should be less about fashion and more about you. Because of that, you may want to skip extremely bright colors, patterns, puff sleeves, puff nipples, and over-the-top ruffles and ruffle nipples.
This is also stupid.
It's very dumb. I love these kind of stories, though, because they are so dumb.
I have gone on, I went on a couple dates, like, over the summer, I guess. I don't know, with someone. And it was, like, you know, first dates. Didn't know the person at all, like, online meeting. And, like, what to wear was such a conundrum. I've never dealt with that of, like, usually... I'm dating people that I already know in my life, so I'm not like thinking about, well, oh my God, it's the first time they're seeing me. There was a lot of like, I don't want to try too hard. I also want to look like really natural. I want to look like I'm not like, there's a lot of thought. I mean, I still remember what I wore. I mean, it was a white tank top because it looked like sexy, but casual.
Just plain white tank top, nothing over it?
No, it was like a white like spaghetti strap, but the spaghetti straps had like this like really cute like lacy kind of thing on it. So it was definitely cute, but I've never worn it again for some reason because I just didn't, I don't know. I looked great, but I definitely, my hair I think was like kind of not even dry yet because I was doing like natural waves and I was just a little bit running late. I mean, I was running my 7 minutes late.
Yeah.
I was early. Also, there was a part of me that was like, I remember pursuing guys back in the day of like that I needed to look perfect for and be this like perfect image of what they wanted me to be. And I just, I was even, yeah, I and now I'm just like, okay, I can look, I want to look 80% as good as I can look. Yes. I want to leave a little bit to go, but bam, wait, look at this.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's really smart because we all dress 80% as well as we can. You know what I mean?
I do about, on a daily basis, 20%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I wear the same thing every day. But, I know, like, on a first date,
women have so much more room, though, and hair to look better.
That's true. I wear
you're probably
leather
like,
boots.
Honestly, right now, how much you would change if you were really trying on a date with a casual look? You'd probably wear that hat. You'd probably wear that shirt.
Yeah, I'm probably at 90%.
You're probably at 90% right now, dude. And this is you waking up. So that
women,
it's right now. I do have makeup on, and my hair is, if I brushed it out, is probably good from last night. I would definitely wear this on a date. I'm probably at about 40% right now.
Yeah,
30%. But my outfit is garbage. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's funny because for me, my 90% on a date, I'll wear like boots. Like leather boots or whatever. And I never, you know me, I never wear.
I never wear
them. And I'll wear those on a first. And that's like me. Like,
we all
like,
act so different on a first date, too.
I'm going to show off by like wearing just regular. Like, they're not even like boots that are like really going to stand out.
I'll eat differently on a date. I'll eat like I'll get dessert. I'm not trying to say that. Like, I'm not usually a dessert person, but I'll just be, it's not even like I'm trying to be like, I'm normal. I just am on a date. It just becomes who I am. It's like this woman that presents as normal. And it's not a...
You're just eating a cheeseburger.
Honestly.
You're just like, this is who I am.
The things I've eaten on dates, like the meals I've chosen where I'm like, I just want this. I'm just like, I surprise myself. I'm like, it's just never something I would order with my friends, but I'm like craving different things. It's interesting. I always order dick.
Yeah, you always get dick and balls on the side. Wait, why do you not... But this is the problem, though. If you don't eat exactly what you eat on that first date, when do you break out the two salads or whatever it is?
I always do what I want to do. I'm just saying on first dates, for some reason, I don't want my normal... I definitely, on a first date, plan on kissing someone, and I'm a little bit nervous, so I'm generally not as hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm not hungry, I know that I can eat like a smaller amount, and so I get something that's going to be filling in a smaller portion because I know that I'm going to be sick if I eat too much. But generally, I like hogging food and shoveling in I love big amounts of food. If I'm not nervous, I'm eating tubs and tubs of food. So in that sense, I want something like lighter. And it's not because I'm like, calories. I just know that I won't be able to eat voluminous amounts of food if it's really dense.
We're also talking so much more on a first date than that's the most you speak to the person you're going to date.
Yes.
I remember me and Brenna on our first date, we got like a hummus thing or like eggplant, whatever.
Yeah.
By the end of the date, there's still hummus left. That's how you know how much we were
nervous.
Like, yeah, we were nervous trying to impress each other, having a great time. But if you know there's hummus left, it's probably, you might actually enjoy the person.
If you're there and there's hummus left
and
you're not doing this with your finger and scraping it off the plate.
Yeah, eating the plate. Someone got a lot of attention. Like, I cared a lot.
Let's go to break and come back with our weekly sports moment.
You sound excited.
Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a
fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country. 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
All right, it's a weekly sports moment.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
I feel like it's been a long time since I've heard it.
We've really...
All right, I know the clock is ticking. Serena Williams, 40 years old, said she is prepared for retirement from tennis and she wants more kids. The 40-year-old star has admitted she's been getting herself ready to step away.
Man, they mention her age twice already in this.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. I am prepared for today.
We heard it the first time, journalist. Of course, Daily Mail.
You know, at the end of the day, I think it's really important to always have a plan. And that's kind of what I did. I always had a plan. Serena, who has a 4-year-old daughter, Olympia, with her husband, Alexis.
Even the daughter's ages.
Has a wealth of business ventures.
Oh, wait a second. Did they mention the husband's age?
No.
Interesting. Wow. Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, it is interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess he's not the main focus, but still.
Why the daughter's age is there?
Because she's, depending how young a kid is, you have to pay more attention to him or something. Probably.
Yeah,
it's maybe. But yes, I see what you're saying.
I don't think it's a thing about the daughter being a woman or anything.
Has a wealth of business ventures aside from a tennis career, and she admitted sometimes her packed schedule can be overwhelming. Again, she has a 4-year-old daughter.
Does she have more to prove in tennis? I mean, huh? I guess it would be cool as a 40-something-year-old woman to, like, win fucking
I mean, she has nothing to prove. I mean, so, she's won more. I mean, it's insane what she
does. She can go do other things. And I think she's someone who looks like she really enjoys being a mom.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think at what, you know, people keep living longer. I feel like, well, tennis is tends to be a young person sport. Like, the fact that, you know, I would say the average winner of most Grand Slams is probably like 25 tops.
Yeah.
So she's 50. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But, there, you know, Federer is 40 and he's still doing it. But, you know, when do you quit? When do you just say it's hard? All right. Like, that's your whole, that's who you are. That's what everyone values you as.
Yeah. I mean, I was the Amazing Jonathan thing. He was like, said, you know, everyone, there comes an end for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. You got to just, you fall out of favor. People, you're not as strong. You're not as good as you used to be. It will happen to all of us at whatever we do for a living. We're going to peak and then it's going to, people don't really get that much better at things.
I wonder what's harder, like quitting
past adolescence.
Never being successful or quitting being very successful. I think they're both very hard times to quit. You know what I mean? Like the idea of like, oh, it can still happen and then stepping away.
Yeah. You got to think though that most people don't become what they want to be.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
Including me.
Yeah.
I'm not a pop star. You know, like.
Yeah. And I'm not playing professional baseball.
It's a weird. Lot of, yeah, you just, it's rare you get your dream. And walking away from it would be tough, but that just means you have to fulfill your life with other things because it's not about playing tennis or it's not about doing stand-up. It's about like how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. It's about, it gives you worth. And if you are able to have self-worth without those things, then, or, you know, when people are moms and all they are moms and they don't know what else the fuck they are without being a mom and all their kids become self-sufficient, that's when moms start going fucking crazy and begging you to have grandchildren so that they can keep it fucking up because they don't have anything else.
They start playing tennis. They really do.
They do.
But and then they become like the best at their club. But like, yeah, it's never reversed. It's never like I was a mom until I was 40 and then I became a Grand Slam tennis winner.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it is hard to fill that gap. And I'm sure, I don't know. I mean, she could play doubles until she's probably 55 years old and still be competitive.
Do these people even like tennis?
I don't
They're
know.
Good at it. I mean, I remember Andre Agassi in his book, he fucking hated tennis. It's just something, these girls, weren't they like forced to play it at a young age? Did they actually like it?
I think they
did.
You
gotta get some fan
I mean, it got them to, I don't know. I think the end result.
I'm sure they enjoy the game, but like. Yeah. They can still play. It's not like they're barred from playing it. They can still play it. They just can't compete anymore. It's competing. Is that still
and having a crowd? I mean, a crowd is.
I
everything.
Would go. People would still go to see her play. It's the you know competing.
Yes,
that the people caring about like if it's winning.
I know. I was
At
watching
the
this documentary.
Start of the article, though, it was interesting because it was her dad that was encouraging her to consider retirement.
Oh wow.
He's like, you're finally...
He's going to start training her to do that.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you finally made it to where I thought you'd be 20 Grand Slams later. Like he's like, you could quit now.
Yeah. Or he's just like, listen, you're not as good as I wanted you to be. It's never going to happen for you.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine
I wanted you that? To win 20 Grand Slams, so it's really not even... It's you should probably quit at this point.
Yeah, you're never really going to live up to what I thought you were going to be.
Let's get to Fanthrax. All right, let's hear it. What have the besties got to say this week?
Okay, let's start off with a voicemail from Marla.
In the podcast opening song, I swear I hear Nikki's name right before Noah says, "Here's Nikki." And I always wondered if that was a little hand rip for us or if it's unintentional. And I really want to know if I'm the only one who hears it. I've been wanting to message this for ages, but I hate my voice. And then I'm home with COVID, so I decided...
Oh, I like your voice.
I don't care. I'm going to just ask because no one has. So, love you guys. This is Marla. I'm from Canada.
Hi, Marla. Wait, you have a so great right voice. Before... Yeah, she has a great voice.
I mean, COVID helps. It gives it a raspiness, but...
I'm sorry that you have COVID in Canada. What? So she hears us say...
Yeah, where?
Nikki, right she, before you say...
Yeah, so it's just the Nikki Glaser podcast, and then I say, here's Nikki.
But she hears Nikki right before it.
Yeah.
Maybe Nikki... Do they say Nikki Glaser podcast very quietly, and no one hears it? Should we play it again?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to play it.
Let's listen for Nikki right before Noah would say, here's Nikki. So don't say, here's Nikki.
Nikki Glaser podcast.
And that's when I would say
maybe
it.
Maybe she's talking about that like high thing that's going, Nick.
No,
Nick.
I think this is the Mandela. I think she's, yeah. maybe I don't know, Marla. What did you hear it then? I'm really, it would be weird if we had a secret message. I do say, if you play backwards, it says Paul is dead, but that is.
Yeah, that's weird.
But that's not what she's talking about. I don't know.
I do love her using ham drip. Incorrectly, but also it's like the word fuck, how you could use it in so many different ways.
Yeah, oh, ham drip can be anything. But yeah,
I think she meant fashion egg.
Fashion egg, yeah, that would be a fashion egg.
Or a ham drip.
Thanks, Marla. You have a great voice. Please call again with anything. I did listen to that voice.
Yeah, and I
want to
know like where you really hear it. So if you can like specify.
And I want to shout out to our Fanthrax from, I think, last week. Who was it? I asked her, she was in Missoula. Do you remember that girl? She had a beautiful voice, and I asked her, please make an ASMR of her just talking. She sent me one. She wrote on, she wrote me on, what's it called?
Instagram.
Yeah. And she was like, hey, I know maybe you weren't serious, but it sounded like you were, and I decided to tell you about Missoula in a 5-minute thing. And I gave her my email, and I'm looking for it now because it probably got sent to a little... spammy mailbox, but I will be listening to that. I'm so excited that she did that. I'm so psyched. I should have listened to it last night when I couldn't sleep. I forgot. But thank you for that.
Okay, next one's from Marnie.
Marla and Marnie, love it.
Hi, Nikki, Andrew, and Noah. This is Marnie. I've called you guys before, and you told us about Marnie Schlappy. but I wanted to call you guys and ask if you've heard the new song Gospel by Dr. Dre and Eminem. They rhyme full throttle and hits the bottle, just like Andrew. I think they were maybe listening to the pod and they plagiarized, but I wanted to give credit where credit was due.
Dr. Dreidel.
And if you haven't heard it, I'll sing it for you. It goes a little something like this.
Please.
Yeah. Dre, are you ready? Check. And then a bunch of verses. And then he goes, this shit here, that problem. Living at the bottom of the bottle. Full throttle. My mama. You guys got to listen to it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Fucked up.
And he also says
also
mama.
I want to say I love you guys.
Love you.
And I know I don't have an ASMR voice. But no, hope you listen to Gospel by Eminem and Dr. Dre. All right, love you, bye.
From one not ASMR voice to another, you have a great voice, and it's very, I'm not judging, I don't want anyone to not call in because you don't have an ASMR voice. I think I started something here, and I don't want anyone to be insecure about your voice. As someone who also hates the sound of their own voice when I hear it, you're wrong about everyone thinks they hate their own voice. I'm a broadcaster and I hate my own voice. So, you know, don't worry about it. I don't think there's anyone's voice that I hate so much that I would ask you to not call in. She did a great job singing that song. I want to know, is she
so
listening? I want to know, is she listening to every like new Dre Eminem drop? I guess that's everyone's excited about the Super Bowl. Will they sing Full Throttle there?
Oh, probably.
What's the song called again?
She hits
Gospel.
Gospel.
Oh, Gospel.
How did you find it? Because Andrew did send this to us the other day.
I had a couple people just write me. Maybe she was one of them. But yeah, a few people wrote me saying that I should sue Dr. Dre.
full throttle bottle, and he says mama.
I know, like, the mama all, part really. Whoa. I'm like, really? Really, Dre?
She goes full fuck, dude. You're a genius. Who knew?
Dude, I did.
Oh my God. Oh, Jo Lynn is the one who sent me the Missoula, Montana 5-minute ASMR thing. And I just found it, Joe. So thank you so much for sending that to me. I'm not going to play it, but I will be playing it tonight, actually probably in an hour when I take a nap. Oh my God. I can't wait to hear about Missoula and the dulcet tones of Joe.
Oh, the fishing there.
Okay. We have a story from Ashley about her therapy session.
Oh.
Hey, Nikki and Andrew and Noah. This is Ashley. I was calling because today I had a therapy appointment, and I don't know. I thought that you guys might appreciate this, mainly Nikki. But I referenced Taylor Swift's All Too Well during my session today, talking about a guy who basically gaslit me and minimized what the context of our relationship was. And I was talking to my therapist and I was like, you know, like that Taylor Swift song, All Too Well. And she was like looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
She goes, the 10 minute version?
You know, like the Jake Gyllenhaal one. Anyways, there's this line where she's saying, you never called it what it was. And that's how I feel right now. He just kind of looked at me blankly, and I was like, oh my gosh, is this my rock bottom? I don't know. But
no, it's
I
not,
just thought
girl.
That maybe you guys would appreciate that. So thank you for everything. Bye.
Oh, that's my favorite new lyric in that song. Oh my gosh. What was her name again?
Ashley.
Taylor Swift? I'm just kidding. Ashley. That was my favorite new lyric in that song. You were always skipping town, and you were... and I was thinking on the drive down, anytime now, you're gonna say it's love. You never called it what it was. It's so good. It's happened to me so many times too, Ashley, where you just, after the fact, it's easy for them to, you know, and this girls do it to guys too. It's easy for them after the fact to, because no one wants to break someone's heart. No one wants to hurt someone. So if they can convince themselves it wasn't really anything real and that they don't have any accountability, then they can escape any kind of blame, and then they can make you out to be the crazy one. So dude, it's such a perfect lyric, and it definitely hit me hard, and that's happened to me a bunch, and it's a common thing. And maybe, and then we were talking about memory now, and now I'm like, God, did I remember it wrong? Like, you, that's what gaslighting is. They make you think like, oh fuck, am I like a crazy girl who like thinks things,
yeah, we had something more. Yeah, like it was on the verge to marriage.
But regardless of if you're a crazy girl or not, like you felt that way, and
I'd love to see
sucks.
You, Nikki, talking to your therapist, and you're only talking
doing
in Taylor Swift songs
lyrics.
And yeah. See how long, yeah. Like it would be amazing, because I've seen the thing where like they like a guy or girl will text their, you know,
only
lyrics like one line at a time, and then be like, yeah, dude, I'm not, like, I don't know. It's just really funny to see the response.
All he had to do was stay. He had me in the palm of his hand.
Okay,
why do you have to let me
why
go and lock me out when I was trying to let him in?
I mean, I don't know. How were you feeling at the time? Like,
You know, if I wanted to know who he was hanging with, I would have, while I was gone, I would have asked him.
Well, is he honest with you, you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's casually cruel in the name of being honest.
Mm, that happens.
Oh my God. I could do this. I could really do this.
We should make a video like that. It'll be really funny. I'll play you to therapist if you want.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one. Thank you so much for that.
Well, okay.
Any Taylor Swift stuff I love.
The next one is Bobby with a story.
Hi, Andrew, Nikki, and Noah. This is Bobby calling in from Berlin. I was listening to the pod the other day, and you guys were talking about the Mile High Club, and I was just inclined to share a story. So when I was in high school, I did this exchange program where like 60 international students get together, and you live on a tall ship, and you travel, and you study, and you become sail trainees.
High school.
And cool. as you do when you put 60 teenagers together, everyone ends up coupling up and falling in love, blah, blah, blah. So I was one of those kids. And my boyfriend and I, we at the end of the semester, we were flying home to separate places. And we were on the plane before we had to say goodbye, holding hands across the aisle, crying. It was a whole thing. We ended up going to the bathroom, and one thing led to another, and we had sex. So yeah, one thing they don't tell you is that it gets extremely steamy and hot in the bathroom after you have sex, and the mirrors completely fog up, and there's always going to be like 10 people outside wanting to use the bathroom. My boyfriend scoots out past this line of people. I try to fix the mirrors, rub my eyes to make it look like I was crying. Like, that's not what we were just doing in there.
Oh, that's good. Smart.
Anyway, and I joined him on arguably the worst walk of shame that you can ever do.
Oh my God.
So yeah, anyway, no one ever said anything, and I think they just felt bad for us, so we got away with it. Anyway, love you guys.
Love you. Oh my God, that's such a good idea. I was always, because I was like, oh my God, people are always going to know what you do in there. Just act like you're having like an episode.
Yeah. Like, no, I was just taking
just
a horrible
smear
shit.
Smear shit all over your face afterwards.
Yeah. Put shit all over the bath.
That's the only way to do it is to be like.
Oldest trick in the book.
But why would you have your boyfriend come in and help you with your like explosive diarrhea?
He's such a good man.
You could only get away with it.
Or maybe you act blind and he's like your seeing eye boyfriend or guy, you know?
Seeing eye boyfriend.
Seeing eye boyfriend. There was another story of another girl. Like, I was listening to these the other, and she was on a church group and she jerked off. These teen tours, don't let your kid go because they're going to get fucked in the air.
Fucked in the air.
I mean, no, it's awesome. I mean, it's awesome. It's just amazing. Well, yeah, there was another church group, and she's like, I jerked him off on the plane, but I didn't do it to completion because I was still afraid to come.
I relate to that so much. Let's get to the final thought.
Final thought. We should talk about Instagram photos.
Yeah.
We got sent a good amount. It didn't really help the debate because some.
Yeah, here's the problem. My whole hypothesis is based on women who have a big male following.
Yes,
and I realized I went to go get a Diet Coke before we did the show, and I was trying to find example. Like, I was going through all my girlfriends and people I follow to be like, okay, let me just find some examples here. Why can't I just like search here? Because I can see how many likes things get. I could do this, and I realized I wanted to spend some time on it. To build my case, but I think that reliable, I was trying to think of female comics who have big male followings. I couldn't really think of that many. I did find a great example of the girl that's in the new Jackass.
Okay.
She, perfect example of her and her boyfriend, the only picture she has of them, 900 likes. Everything else is like thousands and thousands. It's my hypothesis about, if you have a mostly female following, females are supportive of relationships, whether they like the guy or not.
Okay.
That they're following. It's if you have a male following as a woman, you are going to get way, way less likes on a picture of you and your boyfriend. It's just going to be the way it is because men are threatened. And like, I think it's kind of what I said yesterday is brilliant. Women know that if a man that they like is with a girl, they could still fuck them because men are.
Yes.
More non-monogamous by nature, there's still a chance, even if that guy's a good person, there's still a chance he might fuck you. Whereas when a girl is coupled up, off limits, dude. Like, women just aren't as non-monogamous. And so men are much more threatened, as they should be, from not being able to fuck you if you have a boyfriend, as opposed to women seeing you, a guy, with a girl.
Also,
even if it's the case or not.
We've learned too, or at least I've learned that, a lot of people are sending in photos where when you're solo, you're like in a bikini or you're wearing like no bra or a lot of skin is showing. And then with your boyfriend, you're wearing 19, you're looking like Bridgerton over there. You're wearing like 19 layers and then you're comparing those two. And that's not a fair comparison.
And it's really like, I was thinking about it. Sometimes the quality of a photo, which you don't understand because you just put whatever photo you'd fucking take. You don't understand like making a photo look sharper, an image, or like
cheating.
Or just turning the color up. Yeah.
Lying.
Making it look more aesthetically pleasing. You know, wiping off the lens. Lying. Yeah.
Wiping off
the lens and turning on a lamp.
Yeah. That's not who you are.
That's going to make get you more likes if the photo just looks nicer. So there's all these variables, but I do think my new thing that I'm going to go really deep in this afternoon probably is women who are musicians. Men like female musicians.
Yes.
Female comics, there's not a lot of female comics that men prefer, like most men like. I was thinking of all my female comic friends, and it's most of them have female followings. I would think, I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that mine, I'm 70% fucking men on Instagram.
You have more men than me.
It's really weird. And
actually, that makes a lot of sense because I have 70% women.
Yeah.
The whole, your whole theory. Yes. As well as like, so when I put up a picture in a relationship.
Yes.
It gets more likes because yes. Women, yeah, interesting.
Yes. Women will very much support that.
You know what I want to see? I want to see women dress as scandalous as possible next to their boyfriend. And I want to see that.
Mm. Well, I'm going to go through female musicians, I'm friends with a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they have huge male followings because men always think that like this singer-songwriter woman is like, there's a part. I've had guy friends who are like fans of, you know, the Maggie Rogerses, the Anya Marinas, the like
Vincent, same Vincent.
Yeah. And they Casey have Musgraves. This like, they love the idea of fucking this girl. They think that they get this girl on a different level. Like these guys just sit in the front row, like she gets me. And it's these are the ones I'm going to go look through their following.
Yeah.
And also girls that do like are on male podcasts. They probably have a lot of male followers too. And I'm going to go look through them and see if this is the
ball. Or athletes. Athlete stars. No, that one
female
doesn't
athletes,
work. That one
yeah.
doesn't work. Actually, it depends.
There's some female athletes that guys really like.
Yes.
Guys are very picky and choosy about which women they support. I'm grateful to be one of those women as a whole. I do appreciate it as the whole that I am. Yeah. But, man, there are many men who loathe me. Loathe. Just fucking hate me. It's so upsetting. How much you get hated when you get famous-ish is just, it's, the as much as you get so much love, the more love you get, the more you're going to get hate too. People do not hate people that aren't like in the spotlight. You just don't care.
Yeah,
you would not hate someone that had nobody following them and no one was talking about. It just wouldn't happen. Think about anyone that you've been discussing.
Like,
anytime you start shit-talking or I start shit-talking a comic, it's because they're getting heat. We would never talk about a person that just released one clip with five people watching and go, look, this sucks so much. We would only talk shit if people were enjoying it.
Yes.
It's always
jealousy.
Started from jealousy. It never isn't. Anyone I've ever hated or been like, God, they suck. It's because they're popular and I'm jealous.
But here's the thing. Well, you could say, because I saw a thing with Jon Stewart. They're like, you know, you don't get as much slack as, you know, this kind of comedian or this kind of person. He's like, I could go on Twitter right now and say, I mean, he's a little bit of like, whatever, like, that
polarizing
might be a bad example. Yeah, he's a little bit polarizing. But like someone that you would think like, oh, everyone loves you. If you go on Twitter and search their name.
Yeah, everyone can find
everyone gets a shit
them.
Ton of hate. Yeah.
But. Yeah, it's because the more people that know you, the percentage of people that hate you in that contingency is going to go up, and it's going to go. But don't you believe that when you and I bitch about someone, like sometimes you'll bring up, the other day you brought up a comedian to me and you're like, they're just saying things that have already been said. None of this is original. And I never really heard of this person. And I go, why are we talking about them? Did they just get us? And you're like, because they're blowing up online. It's like, we wouldn't be talking about them if they just were a random person that released a clip that sucked.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm just jealous.
Well,
and they were all original thoughts.
No, they're you started playing it and you go, actually, that one's good.
Yeah, that one's actually
That one's good too. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
All you see when you watch it, it's confidence. He's just a guy that's confident. It's all it is. People are so susceptible to it, including me. Guys, be confident this weekend. Go out there.
So confident.
Get naked.
Get naked. Do something terrible.
Shower.
Wake up Sunday. Be very depressed. Monday morning, get right back after it.
Thanks for listening to the pod this week. We'll see you on Monday, besties. Don't be cut and
yeah. Black.
Have we not done that one?
I don't think so, and it got sent to me
Holy
just now.
Holy shit.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.